VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Saturday morning, and it's 10 o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. It is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And?
Paul Livingston.
Those of you who are regular listeners, A, welcome back, and thank you very much for always being here. We need you. And two, as I like to say, you know that for the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the special show this week with Paul. Paul is a dedicated, devoted fair tax follower. And I know that many of you out there, because I know a lot of you, are devotees of the system also. But I also know there's a lot of people listening who think it's two words, one of which is a description. We'll dispel that notion right away. And others know what the term means, but they're not familiar with it. Others know something about it, just enough to not like it because they don't know enough. And then others are the rabid supporters that are sitting in this room today. So no matter which side you're on, listen up a little bit, see if it appeals to you. I think you're going to be really surprised. We're in that season where Congress is talking about revising our ridiculous, outdated monstrosity called the U.S. tax code. That is the wrong fix. And I've been spending a month or so telling you what's wrong with their version of a fix. But the real problem is fundamental. Yeah. It has to be thrown away.
Calling that a fix is giving it way too much credit.
You're exactly right. It would be at best a tweak and at worst a tax increase on the working public. Neither are even remotely acceptable to me, and I hope they're not to you. But we'll get into that after we talk about the things we like to talk about early in the show. And I especially like to talk about them following a week like this. So what happened in the market today, Adam?
Well, it was another nice week. I think this week was sort of a proof of a couple of things that we've been talking about. One of which is that earnings season looks like it's going to go fairly well. We've been predicting that for about 3 months now. And so far, so good. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But so far, so good. The second thing is that what goes around comes around. And what I'm referring to this week is the FANG stocks. They had been a little bit out of favor, but man, what a week they had.
And for the benefit of the newbies out there.
Right. I'll get into FANG is an acronym for Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And they really hadn't done much recently. In fact, they'd even slipped a little bit, Amazon in particular. But this week, Facebook was up 1.7%, Netflix 2.8%, Google 3.25%, and Amazon up over 12%.
Which will be related to our trivia question, which I will give out at the beginning of the second period.
So combined, they added $185 billion to their total market cap this week. And even Twitter, which was basically left for dead, was up over 20% this week. So
didn't you love that?
It's like the little brother.
Even Twitter went up. My God, what a week.
Yeah. So the markets all had a good week. The NASDAQ had a really great day on Friday. It closed up more than 140 points. And yes, that is the NASDAQ, not the Dow.
Yes, exactly.
The NASDAQ's only at 6,700. So 140 points is really substantial.
Take that times about four and you would get your Dow move at about 500 points.
Right. Yeah, so it's a pretty amazing day. And for the week, the NASDAQ was up 1.1, the Dow up 0.5, and the S&P up just 0.2. Quarter to date, though, the NASDAQ is looking pretty good at 3.2, the S&P up 2.4, but the Dow is leading the way. The large caps have had a really good run recently, up 4.6%. So all in all, it's been a really good time to be invested and stay invested and not listen to the media, because if you listen to the media this year and at some point jumped out of the market, you were the big loser.
But you know, it's all coming to a crashing halt.
Exactly.
On Monday.
Because
the White House is going to be indicted, thrown in jail, and turned upside down, right?
Or North Korea, you name it. They'll probably
get nuked by Wednesday.
Right, right. Anyways, so as I mentioned before, earnings season is in full swing, and just under 1,000 companies have reported. Over 63% are beating on earnings and 61% on revenue. Both those numbers are pretty good, and the revenue, not quite as good, but earnings looks strong relative to recent quarters.
And remember, all of these numbers that we give you are predicated on
expectations. Yeah.
And the expectations last year and for the several years before that had been shrinking. They are now rising, and we're still beating them at a pace that's fairly typical of even expectations, which just means that, hey, we're doing great.
Yep. In fact, the best thing about this quarter has been the guidance, which has been largely positive, which that makes two quarters in a row positive guidance. We haven't seen that in quite a while. Mm-hmm. So all in all, it just looks like a pretty good earnings season. I think companies are doing well, and it speaks to the strength of corporate America. Then the economic news kind of backed that up this week. We saw the first reading of the GDP. It came in at 3%. That's back-to-back over 3% readings. We haven't seen that in, I don't even know, it's been a long time.
It hasn't been a long time.
So, and the other thing was the jobless claims came in again at basically a multi-decade low. And, man, it was you had to really look to find any bad information this week. It was strong all around.
Yeah, you had to have some pretty wild expectations.
True.
Even then, two-thirds positive or something like that?
Yeah, it was largely positive, and even the negatives weren't that bad.
Well, one of them, this is the one I really liked. Housing inventory missed.
I didn't see that.
It came in at zero.
Okay.
The sales of new homes had risen by something like 100,000.
They can't keep up with demand.
They can't keep up. Yeah. And actually, Howard and Angela were pretty much saying the same thing.
Especially in the lower end of the market, they were saying it's so competitive that people just can't find houses. They're bidding wars on houses they haven't even seen.
No. And with price increases coming in the interest rate market, you're going to see even more people chasing homes right now, which is going to drive the prices up. That's how you create cycles, and we're certainly in one. Right now we're in the seller's market cycle. It will turn. How soon, I don't know.
I think we've got a little ways to go, though.
I do, too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But just as you were talking about, the economic numbers themselves, things are just terrific. Now, think what we've been through. A couple of months ago, or a month and a half ago, or whatever, we started talking about the negative impact of all the hurricanes and how you're going to see big jumps in things like unemployment. There's going to be people who aren't earning money, so they're not buying things. But in a great economy, such as we're in, what happens is that once they get a place to stay and they get their mess cleaned up, the rebuilding starts. So if you're a tradesman of any sort, it could be involved in the construction industry, you can get a job anywhere you want to right now, but especially so in areas like Houston that have been hit so hard and down in the Keys. So what's happening there is that all these numbers that, for instance, last month when we lost jobs nationwide, according to the employer survey, what happened is people are starting to go to work for themselves until the big companies open up again. So we had a real divergence between the employer and the household surveys. Well, now that's going to switch because people are going back to work and they're being hired like crazy. You will see jobs numbers at the end of this next week and the government releases them. And I think they're going to be very strong. And even then, the expectations are for 295.
Which is high.
That's very high for expectations. And I think they're going to beat that because I think they have to. It might take three surveys to look to find it, but I bet we will. So in my world and in your world, if you're investors, stay tuned. The fun is not over yet. After the break, we are going to come back and we'll get Paul started on the history and the present and everything in between about the fair tax, a concept whose time has come. It actually came some time ago. It needs a new push from the people, and we're going to give it to them. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Paul Livingston.
And those of you who tuned in at the beginning know Paul's in the studio with us today because we're going to spend most of the show dedicated to the fair tax. And we, of course, will take callers. And by the way, if you have a different financial question than the fair tax, please call in anyway. We'll be happy to handle it. But our concentration today will be on the fair tax after one more comment that I have to make. We were talking in the break about Yahoo and all the various no-Trump types out there. Yahoo Finance is right up there at the top. So you know how I love headlines. This headline was from this morning. Why 3% GDP growth is unlikely to last. And those of you watching news probably know that the last quarter just came in at 3%, following the one at 3.1. And the brilliant analysis by Nicole Sinclair for Yahoo says, you know why? It's because the CBO and the Federal Reserve are only projecting 2%.
And they're always right.
They're always right. Wait a minute. Have they ever been right? Let me think. No.
No.
Ever.
You don't need to think that hard.
104 years with a perfect record. They've never gotten anything right. It's truly amazing.
People. Even the weatherman gets it right once in a while.
All right, today. And for the past 101 years or so. 104 years, we tax industry, so to speak. If you go out, go to work, earn money, you get to bring part of it home, but not until they dig their hand in your pocket. And that's what passes for a tax code in this country today and has since it was invented. The fair tax came up, I believe it was the 70s, Paul, when the people got together?
The 90s, 70s, 80s and
90s,
yeah.
Okay. The concept started.
It all started with some businessmen going to their board meetings, and they said all they talked about were tax issues.
Right.
And so they challenged themselves to address this issue of taxation, and some $22 million of private funds went into a lot of research and study. They hired economists from the major colleges and universities and think tanks to come up with what's wrong with our tax code and how to fix it. And the solution...
Everything, for starters.
The solution was the fair tax. And along the way, they came up with a lot of problems. Let me digress a little bit to talk about the present tax plan that's being discussed. It is a tax plan. They're trying to sell it as tax reform, but it leaves in place a whole bunch of problems. First of all, the tax plan leaves in place our tax code that divides us into classes. So the present tax code divides us into classes. And it continues to tax production, income, savings, and investment. Now, it is production that builds our tax base. It's production that raises our standard of living. But that's what we presently tax.
As the economists say, if you want less of something, tax it.
Right.
So what do we want? Less production? Fine, just tax it.
Right. And our present tax code or the present tax plan is going to continue to tax jobs. But we want more jobs. But taxing jobs is going to create more jobs. The plan does include eliminating a lot of deductions and loopholes and things like that. Well, that in essence is going to feed the swamp. And it's going to create a whole new banquet table for the tax lobbyists, the special interest groups, the crony capitalists, the deep staters, and the politicians to buy and sell all over again. The tax plan also leaves in place direct taxation. Now, that came about with the passage of the 16th Amendment. It's a very short amendment. Basically, it says that the government can directly tax us and without limits. That was a 180 degree reversal from our Constitution. Our founding fathers had the foresight to see that direct taxation was an evil. It gave the government too much power.
There were some people back in Boston, yes, back in the old days, who understood that concept pretty well.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons that this country got founded without an income tax.
Right. Had to do our Declaration of Independence is about tax tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the 16th Amendment basically brought the ships back into the harbor, if you will, but that there are ships, their own government, that has this right to take money from us. With the passage of the 16th Amendment, 6 months later, we had the first legal income tax. Then came taxes on jobs. Then it came tax withholding.
And Milton Friedman, by his own admission, the biggest mistake he ever made in his life. Milton Friedman, by his own admission, mm-hmm, the biggest mistake he ever made in his life
was inventing tax withholding.
Yeah. Yep. And he did it. He did it for the ultimate important cause. He did it to fund the war. Then it was supposed to go away. But like government, the swamp, it's murky in the swamp. Things don't get out.
Government does not know how to downsize. Government is governments were created by people. And some people are good, some people are bad. And so with that, government takes on the same characteristics, the same good and bad, as their creators. And with that, government uses their power, and now they have the taxing power. And that's why the 16th Amendment needs to be repealed.
And we will come back to that, because that's in one of my gotcha questions that we need answered for everybody.
Okay. So we've been talking about some major problems. These are deep-rooted problems. These are problems that real tax reform addresses. The solution to all these problems we've been talking about, all these problems are addressed by the fair tax, every one of them, to freeing up our economy, to enable us to enjoy our production, our creation as individuals, our God-given right to enjoy that production without first giving some money to our government, without being taxed. So, if you have a question in particular about the fair tax, I'd welcome that.
Okay, I'm going to spend a little time with you developing a what is it? Because when you know what it is, then you can start asking some really good questions. The fair tax is a concept. Everybody knows about sales tax. You buy things and you pay a tax on them.
Let me stop you right there.
Yep.
The fair tax is a bill.
Yes,
in
it is.
Congress.
Right. Two of them.
It's in the House, it's H.R. 25, and in the Senate, it's S-18.
Mm-hmm. So it would be incorporated into the Constitution in one respect that's very important, but I'll get back to that too. But the fair tax said, here's the way we're going to generate our money. It's going to be through a sales tax or a consumption tax, as we know it, rather than a production tax. Well, okay, how? Think of everything you buy today new. You go down to the car dealership and you buy a car. And let's say you pay $25,000 for that car. You're paying companies who built tires, rims, motors, stamped metal, glass, all the components were furnished to the car dealer at a cost plus an amount that they have to pay in taxes because of the income tax. If you devolve those costs out of there, what do you have? You have a cheaper cost buildup in the end product. The people, the smart people who got together on this and started studying it, found out that about 22% of new goods that you buy are actually paying taxes down through that company to their suppliers, who then pay it back to the IRS, which sounds convoluted because simply it is.
But we've long said on the show that, companies don't pay taxes.
Exactly.
People
right.
pay taxes.
No
you,
company.
You pay
has,
it through the goods you buy are more expensive because of the embedded taxes at every level of the supply chain.
And think about it in terms of services, too. It's not just automobiles. You go to the doctor, and you pay the doctor $300 for an office visit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doctor has expenses, and what's left after expenses, he takes home. And when he gets home and fills out his taxes, they take a whole bunch more of it. But why should they? There is no reason in the world that that should happen. So these folks that got together and created this concept said, if we eliminate all of those embedded taxes, the cost of everything will fall dramatically. And that number came out about 22%. So imagine a world where you wake up on January 1st and everything is 22% cheaper than it is now, except for one thing. There's no government revenue. How do you get the government revenue back if you throw out all the other taxes? Inside the cost of that good, you mark it back up to its original price, which comes out about 23% embedded. So your $25,000 car costs you $25,000 in January or in December. What's the difference? The $25,000 that you have to earn to buy it next year will not be taxed at all.
You get to keep your entire paycheck.
Yep, and we're going to get into a lot more of this. It's not a complicated thing, but it takes a little explaining. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Paul Livingston.
And we're going to dive right into the fair tax with a caller in just a second, but I have a couple little things I have to do. Trivia question today, market-based trivia question. Brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Most of you know who Jeff Bezos is. He is the primary owner of Amazon.com. And he woke up this morning, went to the mirror in his bathroom and looked in there, and the face staring back at him was the face of the richest man in the world as of yesterday.
And a lot richer.
A lot richer. How much did his net worth go up to the nearest $1 billion on Friday? Now, there's a question.
Mine didn't even go up one on Friday.
No,
me neither. $1 billion?
See, if we,
no.
I'm thinking
that.
If we add you and me together, if we get there, but I'm a little short.
Yeah.
This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things are growing out there still, people. Call Troy at 662-9794. And without further delay, good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Beautiful day.
It is indeed. What's on your mind today? Fair tax?
Yeah, on fair tax, as I understand it, is sort of a national sales tax.
That's one description.
How is it handled so that it doesn't become too aggressive?
Why don't we leave that to the resident expert, Paul Livingston, and I'll have him answer your question.
That's an excellent question. The fair tax comes in two parts. The first part is it's a national sales consumption tax. The second part has a monthly tax refund. Not annual, but a monthly tax refund. We call it a prebate. Now, this prebate
that's
helps.
That's the answer we can hear.
What?
You're not hearing him?
It's all right. Just continue.
The prebate helps most the impoverished and the lower income, because the prebate is determined by your family size. So, and it's based upon the how much money it costs that family to subsist. And you take that subsistence level of expenditure, and that's figured every year now by the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's used for the COLA adjustments, the cost of living adjustments every year. And so this prebate untaxes all legal residents up to their subsistence level of expenditure. And this prebate does two beautiful things. First of all, it changes a traditional sales tax from being regressive to progressive. And it also helps most the poor and the lower income. You can think of the prebate as a replacement for the standard deduction.
That makes sense.
But it also, as you spend more, you pay more fair tax, and you pay a higher tax rate. With the fair tax, you control how much tax you actually pay.
Mm-hmm. So I think Jack asked the question, how do you keep it from what sets the cap on how much they can charge for the sales tax portion of the fair tax?
That the tax rate is determined by Congress, just like any tax.
So it could go
changes.
Up.
Yeah, the fair tax rate is the proposed rate in the bill is 23 cents per dollar. That can be 23% if it's included in the price of the goods, or 30% if it is added on to the price of a good, whether it's included in the price or excluded in the price.
And that the amount of the prebate, every single man, woman, and child in this country gets a prebate. And all what prebate means is they put money in your account.
It sounds a lot like the concept that's really popular on the left right now. It's called the universal basic income.
Yeah.
And it's being proposed everywhere.
For those of you who are frequent listeners, you probably heard me say that Adam had a concept here to try to integrate in here that would bring an awful lot of people, and I promise you they've never thought of it this way. Carry on.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute. I want to make sure Jack got his question answered.
Okay.
Jack, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I guess what confuses me is the fact that the very wealthy spend far fewer dollars on items that would be taxed.
Yeah, but they only get that. Let's say that the prebate is $500 a month. Whether you make $10,000 or $10 million, you get $500.
Okay.
That's it. There's nothing progressive as paying more tax as you spend more money. That there's nothing more regressive than taxing people for things that are necessities at the lower end of the scale. Prebate is meant to balance those.
Let's back up a minute and address this tax the rich issue. First of all, there's some people out there that want to tax the rich. And I've got to ask them, well, how is our present system working for you? And there are lots of articles out there about how our middle class is dying. The salaries aren't going up for the middle class. What do you suppose this is? Who has control? Who has the influence? Who can buy the power to adjust the tax code to their advantage? It's not the deplorables. It's not the 47%ers. So, with the fair tax, as your wealth goes up, now your wealth might be in tax-free bonds right now, and you're living a high on the hog and not paying a dime in taxes. With the fair tax, as you spend more, as you enjoy your wealth, as you consume your wealth, you are paying more taxes, and you're paying at a higher tax rate. Now, if that high wealthy person decides not to spend their wealth, that's still a good thing, because that wealth is within our economy that gets utilized by other people to build wealth, to create productivity.
I think the major hang up, and this is a very common very common protest from people that are debating on the fair tax, and it is that the tax appears on its surface to be very regressive, meaning it taxes lower income people more. Now, It isn't, but it does come across that way when you present the fair tax.
When they present only half of
the fair tax. Right, exactly. And they do that a lot, and the media does that on purpose a lot by not talking about the prebate.
Well said.
Which is supposed to be the thing that addresses that regressive portion of the tax. So
what everybody needs to think about that we don't probably emphasize enough is that if you're out there earning a paycheck right now, before you take that paycheck home, what comes out of it? 7.15% for Social Security and Medicare. You will no longer pay that. Then there's an amount taken out for your federal taxes. You will no longer pay that. Your paycheck every week has just grown by some amount in excess of 7% and up to and including about 45%. And you get to take all that home, and then you go out and start spending it, buying things that cost the same as they did yesterday when you were paying all that tax in. How is it possible? Because it takes the way things are done, and it puts them in a different arena that makes it taxable in a different setting. And it has been explained and explored just for as long as I can remember. We've been fans of this thing. But what you have to remember is you take home more money, you get even more money on the first of the month, and then you start buying things. And when you have spent as much money as a minimum wage type person would spend in that month, you have already been prebated the taxes that you paid in there. Only after that are you taxed.
Here's an example. Let's take a wage earner that's making only $8 an hour, a little bit above the minimum wage. With the fair tax and the prebate, that take-home pay for that minimum wage earner would increase by some 25%. So you want to give the minimum wage earner a increase in pay, support the fair tax.
Yep, I agree. I hope we've covered most of what you're asking, and I hope to cover the rest of it. The music's playing. I got to run. Thanks for the call.
And great Bill, question, Jack.
And Bill, hang on. We'll deal with you right after the break. We'll get into more, hopefully, from the question side and the explanation side. I never promised anybody we would be able to explain this 100% in an hour, but we'll do our best to get you interested anyway. And the way you can learn about it is you can do it on your own, and we'll tell you how to do that after the break, too. You can make Jeff Bezos richer and order the book off of Amazon. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Fair Tax edition of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Paul Livingston.
And we have some callers. We're going to get right to it. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, I think Jeff Bezos woke up. He was $6 billion richer the other day.
Not a bad day's work.
No, not at all.
It was actually, I said within the nearest billion, and you're there. It was $6.8 billion net worth.
Wow.
So you are definitely the winner for this week. And before you hang up, we'll put you on hold. And Alan,
I have a question for Paul Livingston.
I kind of figured maybe you did.
Okay. With the FICA tax being eliminated, if we implement the fair tax, people's Social Security benefits are based on how much they pay in on FICA. How will that be determined? What someone's benefit will be after the fair tax is implemented and no longer paying a FICA?
Great question.
Good morning, Bill. That is a good question. The fair tax bill does not affect or address Social Security and Medicare in any way. It does put the funding of both of these programs on a larger and more stable tax base. Social Security, the government, you will not be filing an income tax.
But you'll still get a W-2 or a 1099.
But your employer will still have to tell the Social Security Department how much your income was for them to later on figure out what your Social Security payments will be later on.
Okay. Okay, how does that work out for self-employed people now? Because they're their own employer, so they can submit any amount they want.
Well, it works out the same way for them. So if they're cheating, the self-employer is cheating today, they'll still be able to cheat in the future, I guess is what is being said.
Okay.
the bottom line is, I mean, it's hard to catch every cheater. There are laws and their enforcement of those laws.
We'll catch the people in the gray market anyhow, the black market.
But there is some good side to this. The fair tax greatly reduces the number of contributors. Like right now, about 160 million income taxes are filed every year. The collection points go down greatly. It reduces the collection points by some 80%. And those collection points are all businesses that are licensed by the states, and the states will collect the fair tax and pass it on to the U.S. Treasury. And so it's a simple tax to figure out. It's a simple tax to collect. It's a sales tax is a very, very efficient tax system. Economists agree on this. You know, economists get a bad knock for their projections and their forecasts. Other than that, there are a lot of great things about economics. Economics is a science. With the science comes laws. And I'm digressing a little bit, so we won't get into that anymore right now.
And I'll follow up on some of these questions next week when we have more time also. Bill, don't go away. I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your name and address, okay, and we'll send you out our little complimentary prize. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jackson.
Hello. Hi.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wonder what would stop Congress from collecting twice.
The repeal of the 16th Amendment is a prerequisite for the implementation of the fair tax. With that said, Paul's going to grab that topic and run with it.
The fair tax bill.
Thank you, Paul.
Oh, morning. Yes. Yeah, the fair tax bill can be implemented without any changes in our Constitution. However, the fair tax bill has in it a sunshine clause that reads, after 7 years, if the 16th Amendment is not repealed, then the fair tax gets repealed. And if our society, if our country, if our voters do not appreciate the new freedoms and liberties and civil rights that we will have gained with the passage of the fair tax, we deserve every bad thing that we get.
You had me at keeping 100% of my income, so yeah, I can't imagine that they wouldn't vote that down. But that's just me.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's me, too.
Yeah, if you distrust the government the way that most of us do, you know that that's got to be covered in there, because letting the camel's nose under the tent would lead to exactly what you know it would lead to, double taxation on things.
Yeah.
They are not going to be allowed to do that by the way this is written. So it's just that simple, really.
New used items are not taxed.
Right.
Okay.
Under the fair tax.
Didn't know that.
Yep. Only new goods and services. So anyway, I'll follow up on some of these items next week when we get a little more time to explore them. But that's the fundamentals. It's built into the system that it can't happen as a double whammy to the people. So fear not. All right?
Well, thank you, thank you, Ben Weiss.
You're welcome voice. From all of us. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Kenny.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, my question, I got a couple questions, but let me try to get this one out and see if you can answer part of it or whatever. Is there any countries doing the same thing, some kind of hybrid version of this that you can look at? You know, myself personally, I kind of feel like you need a little bit of a high, you know, Herman Cain's 999, a little more like that, because I'm concerned about people not buying things, just sitting around and, or, you know, like you're talking about the used cars and, or used stuff, you know, I think maybe like with cars, you know, you could have it where it's anything that's younger than 7 years old, you know, you're going to pay the tax on it, but it maybe be a different level than 23%, because a lot of people that are not rich, they buy used cars and they pay sales tax. But just the thing about other countries, because, you know, we come up with a lot of good ideas and then we don't implement them.
So sure. Did you say you were worried about Americans spending money? That's what we do best. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's not the truth.
Paul, what do you say? You know anybody who's tried
this argument? There are some island nations, if you will, that are tax-free. There's some also some, as far as supporting an economy on the consumption tax, there's some very large economies, particularly economies like the state of Florida and Texas, for example, that get along very well, thank you very much, without a state income tax. You have to consume to enjoy your wealth. And, yeah, there'll be an adjustment period, but if nobody decides to buy a new car, which is ridiculous to think about, all the used cars will still be bought up, and the only thing left is to buy a new car. Goodwill will soon be emptied of all their shelves, so you got to buy something new. And not everybody wants to buy something old to begin with. This is another way to tax the rich, for those that like that button pushed. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'm thinking, too, is that, okay, if I'm bringing more take-home pay, it sounds like you need to be disciplined and save your money, you know, maybe you're going to finance the car, but the down payment you might want to put a bigger down payment. So, yeah, I could see a 3 to 5 year adjustment period maybe for it to work. So I don't know. Maybe there's a way they can figure that out, you know.
What a novel idea. What a novel idea. The consumer with some discipline.
Yep.
I can't imagine.
Absolutely love it.
Good questions, Kenny.
Yeah, I'd like to say we'll talk more next week, but thanks, we appreciate your call. All right. A quick word, Paul, about the business tax again.
Business taxes are a deceitful tax. They get paid by the final consumer. That's you and me. The business taxes get paid for in the form of a higher price. It gets passed on to the next buyer until it is finally paid by you and me, the final consumer. The fair tax eliminates all of that funny business. If a business tax reduction is good for business, good for the economy, how much better would be untaxing business altogether?
On that note, music's playing. We got to run. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk more about it next week. A special thanks to Paul Livingston for his time today. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.